Welcome to YahvahYahweh.name. I'm Stefan Yah. It's not the Higher Ground program, but it is Stefan Yah here with Yahweh, and we're talking about marriage and remarriage. Such a popular doctrine today in the world, but, not too popular. When Messiah was approached on the subject of marriage, he quoted from Genesis chapter 2. In Matthew 19, he quoted from Genesis 2:24. He said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Then he emphasized the strength of the marriage bond. "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let no man put asunder." Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5. There are some things which automatically take place when an unmarried man and woman come together in the covenant relationship of scriptural marriage. One is that Yahweh binds them. Some say that the marriage bond with a first mate is a strong one that can hardly be broken. This applies to all people, not just believers or Christians. Even though people go through the act of divorce, if they are honest, they will admit that they still have a tender spot in their hearts for their first mate. We do not understand how this comes about, but neither did Paul. In Ephesians, he calls it a mystery. Whenever people abide by Yahweh's natural laws, they experience his natural blessings. One is the law of gravity. We benefit by respecting it, and it works for both the believer and the ungodly. This also applies to marriage. The ungodly experience his blessings also, and they lead relatively happy lives as a result of it, though they do not have the deep peace and joy we experience as believers. I'm referring to an article from GiveShare.org, Divorce and Remarriage, written by David Meyer. He's from Crockett, Connecticut, and this was some time ago. I'm reading today here in 2013. Marriage is symbolic of the union between Messiah and the assembly, and there is remarkable symbolism between the salvation story and the Jewish marriage. When a young Jewish man had chosen his bride-to-be, he left his father's house and traveled to the home of his chosen one. So Messiah left his father's house to come to earth to gain his bride. Then the father of the bride and the groom would negotiate a price. Messiah paid the price for us with his own blood. Afterwards, the covenant is established, even though as yet no physical union is being has taken place. They were set apart, or set apart for each other, even as the assembly is to be set apart for Messiah, Yahusha. Afterwards, the bride and groom drank from the cup over which the betrothal blessings had been pronounced, symbolizing the establishment of the covenant. So Yahusha Messiah also did this when he blessed the cup at the so-called Last Supper. Next, the groom returned to his father's house for a period of 12 months in the Jewish wedding. And Messiah also returned to heaven and is separated from his bride during this 12-month period. The groom prepared a place for them to live at the father's house. Messiah is doing this for us. I don't know if that 12-month there is symbolic, but it certainly, what a man does in the world, whether Jewish or not, does not establish the precedent or take priority over scriptures. So I don't know about that 12-month, but it could mean something there. When this waiting period was over, the 12-month waiting period, the groom would go to receive his bride. We believe Messiah, too, will come to receive us to himself. Although the bride knew approximately when the groom would come, she did not know the exact date. Therefore, the groom's arrival was announced with a shout. So it is with us. Someday Messiah will return with his host of messengers and with a great shout, and he will fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, one of the feasts, seven feasts there in Leviticus 23 or Vayikra 23. So in the symbolism, we see absolutely no room for divorce. If it would fit in, we would have to say that after we reach the kingdom of heaven, there would be a possibility of our being cast out again. In some churches today, people are trying very hard to mold the scripture into their culture, making it say what they want it to say, instead of molding their culture to fit the scripture. There are numerous studies and restudies done to see if they can somehow make the scripture say divorce is permissible. And I would guess that 90% of Protestant and Catholic, many other preachers, Jehovah's Witness, 90% of them believe that divorce is permissible if one commits adultery. 90%, and this conflicts with the scriptures in Deuteronomy 22, I found her not a maiden. So this comes very close to the attitude HaSatan had when he approached Hava, or Eve, in the garden with, "Yea, hath Yahweh really said?" They come to the scripture saying, "Are you sure it says there is no way to get around the rules against divorce?" As a result of this attitude, professing people have come up with some loopholes. We'll consider some of those loopholes. The first one is the exception clause, as found in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 19:9. "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And there we are told in Matthew 5:32 that is committing adultery to marry a woman who is divorced. There are many who will say this means divorce and remarriage is permissible if either companion has been unfaithful. But in this clause in Matthew, Messiah is referring to that betrothal period which was mentioned earlier, that period of waiting before marriage. So right now, if you are a believer, and I know that I am, so we're believers, right? So we're in the betrothal period. We're not actually married. The marriage has not been consummated yet with Messiah. But in Jewish custom, this couple was called husband and wife before the actual marriage took place. And the espousal could be broken off if either one was found to be unfaithful during that period, that betrothal period. Another objection to the loophole is that the word fornication is used instead of adultery, which would indicate that the person was yet unmarried. And we'd have to look up that word fornication, porneia, and then go back to Deuteronomy 22, "I found her not a maid." We've done that on other programs here on YahvehYahweh.name. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, just push the button there and email me and say, "Stefan, shape up and get it right." So the Jewish groom would not have taken his bride back to his father's house if upon returning to get her, he had found she had been unfaithful. So we, unless we remain faithful, will not be among those who are caught up to meet Yahweh in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Off by my memory. A second loophole is in the question. Second loophole is the question. Is adultery a state or an act? If it is an act, then we can be remarried, confess the sin, and continue living together with our divorced partner, free from sin. We've been forgiven of the sin of adultery if it's just an act. But Romans 7:3 definitely says, under the inspiration of the Spirit, this is Scripture, all Scripture is Yahweh-inspired, "She shall be called an adulteress," which denotes progressive action. The first marriage is still binding, which makes the second marriage adulterous. And I want to read that in its entirety here in a second. So it must be confessed as sin and forsaken in order for one to be restored to a right relationship with Yahweh and to share in the believer's hope. So picking it up here in Luke 16, where he's talking about no servant can serve two masters. And then verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They derided Messiah. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but Yahweh knoweth your hearts. So people say, my heart is right. Yahweh knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of Yahweh. The law and the prophets were until Yochanan. Since that time the kingdom of Yahweh is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Luke 16, Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Hebrews 13, verse 4. So much for that second excuse. The third excuse people give is the pre-Christian mix-up, we'll call it. I don't always use that word. Pre-Christian mix-up. In the situation, a person has been married and divorced one or more times before becoming a believer. Humanly speaking, we may be inclined to say that there is no need to break up another home. We may think that because the other marriages were not in the faith, they did not count. But marriage is not necessarily a religious institution. It started back in the Garden of Eden before the plan of salvation was brought to light. Another objection is the word whosoever is used in Matthew 19. This word is not just speaking of believers. Uh-oh. Still other people will say that the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 7:17, 1 Corinthians 7:17, that we are to remain in the same situation we were in when we were called to be a believer. But these people fail to realize that the verses in between are not referring to marriage, but to circumcision and servanthood. Circumcision and servanthood. These are matters in which we can be believers, blessed of Yahweh either way, circumcised or uncircumcised, bond or free. If we would apply it in the way these people do, we could say the thief is to continue stealing and the murderer is to continue killing or murdering. But we are taught in the scripture to confess and forsake our sins if we wish to have mercy. Proverbs, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. Praise Yahweh. Yochanan the Baptist lost his head defending the principle of only one marriage. He told Herod that it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. In both Yahweh's eyes and Yochanan's, that second marriage was not lawful. Herod was living in adultery. And Yochanan told him face to face. He told him the truth. Oh, but is that big of a deal? I mean, once saved, we're always saved. So what difference is it? No, not once saved, we're always saved. We can look at the book of Jude, Hebrews 6, and many other scriptures. So we may ask, well, what about the innocent victim? What about the husband or wife who decides to leave and the other really tries to work things out between them? What about the husband or wife who decides to leave and the other really tries to work things out between them? Well, first of all, there's hardly ever a case where the blame rests completely upon one person. So they're both guilty, but even if that were the case, marriage is so special in the eyes of Yahweh that here there are still no exceptions. 1 Corinthians 7:10 tells us what our first responsibility is in the case where our husband or wife does not believe. Let not the wife depart from her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:10. Now the reason for this is that there is a possibility that you could win your partner to Yahweh to be saved in Yahushua the Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. 1 Peter 3:1. So back to Corinthians now, 7:11. But, and if she, the unbelieving one, depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Separation without marriage leaves the door open for reconciliation. And as I read this, I'm thinking of a friend of mine, a woman that she was single, but she married a divorced man. So I'm sort of addressing this to her. She'll probably never hear it, but maybe someone like her will, or someone like a friend of yours will hear this message. First of all, we got to pray for him. So verse 15 now, 1 Corinthians 7:15, may look like another loophole. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but Yahweh has called us to peace. This may sound as though we are no longer married to that person, but in the Greek, this word bond refers to the obligations that are ours to perform toward our marriage partner, such as the wife keeping house for the husband, and the husband providing materially for the wife. Of course, the state doesn't recognize that anymore. They want the wife to provide, and that she can be independent if she pleases. So, you know, what she need him, or what does she need anybody for in the corporation these days? Getting on the old treadmill bunny trail there. Paul is saying that if the partner leaves, we are free from these obligations toward one another. Now, let me read that again. 1 Corinthians 7:15. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. Verse 11 said, but and if the unbelieving one depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Separation without remarriage is leaving the door open for reconciliation. So if the partner leaves, we are free from these obligations toward one another of to perform our duties. Well, that's what the author of this article is saying. I still believe that when there is a separation, that the husband is still responsible for the wife. These days, the state calls that alimony. I would say that the husband's still responsible, of course, you know. What's the wife going to do? She's not been trained to do a job in this situation here. If things were proper, and the children, who's going to take care of them? So I would say the husband should be responsible somewhat for the wife and children, but it really depends on how that wife is. Maybe she doesn't deserve to have anything if she's lazy and running around with a whole bunch of other men. And that's not right. You shouldn't be running around and doing that with everybody. So the last thing we want to consider is the expression, two wrongs never make a right. It is bad enough if one marriage breaks up, so why break up the second one? But we read in the account of Ezra, in the book of Ezra, that the Jews had taken strange wives. He told them that they, and that's the last chapter there of Ezra, he told them that they must put away their strange wives from them. And this probably broke up some happy homes, too. It was not an easy thing to do, but there are no easy answers to these difficult questions in life. We must realize that the way of the transgressor is hard, and this is one area in which we must reap what we have sown. The Scripture condemns adultery. To stop an adult, and that's in Exodus chapter 20, and Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments, condemning adultery. So to stop an adulterous relationship may not be easy, but it is right. If we were injured while drag racing or in some other manner crippled as a result of sin, we do not automatically become healed just by becoming a believer. Some of these scars must then be carried with us the rest of our lives. Should it be any different in this area? Well, some will say, well, what about the children? It seems so cruel. It seems so cruel, but it was so in the time of Ezra, and it specifically mentions children in that account. Children become the innocent victims. Every adulterous marriage and relationship can only add to the grief and confusion of the child. Yahweh's law of being set apart and of purity must be given precedence. But we realize that Yahweh is the father of the fatherless and widows. He will bless and protect those children whose parents are truly obeying Him. And let us realize the sinfulness involved in this issue and take a firm stand against divorce and remarriage. It will affect our attitude toward courtship. Yahweh is able to help us straighten up our lives in this area as well as any other. And again, I mentioned that I believe that the husband is responsible for, probably responsible for some or all of the wife's livelihood there to provide for her even during the separation. And I believe that the husband is certainly responsible for the children. And I would that the children were with the husband and the wife. So that's the article about divorce and remarriage written by David Meyer. And that can be found on GiveShare.org. Under, when you first get into GiveShare.org, G-I-V-E-S-H-A-R-E, GiveShare.org, O-R-G, under the heading there at the top, under the selections, under family. And you can, oh, there's a lot of good articles in here. Let me just tell you a couple of them before I go to our next teaching here. Under some of the titles there is polygamy, marriage, the theme of the scriptures, most important doctrine of the scriptures, divorce and remarriage by Herbert Armstrong, a voice from the past on marriage and divorce. Is there life after divorce? Well, that's kind of a strange thing that Mr. Armstrong at one time preached that it was wrong to get a divorce. Questions on divorce and remarriage, the gay question, worse than an infidel, bring back daddy, honor thy father and thy mother, scriptural child rearing, Old Testament polygamy, homosexuality, the alternative death style, Yahushua Messiah and remarriage, he calls him Jesus, questions about divorce and remarriage, lesbianism, overcoming homosexuality, feminism redefines Yahweh, marriage is for life, marriage ceremony, and webmaster's daughter, Barbara, an article called Barbara's Wedding. It's really a cute article. Christian Education by A.T. Jones, Children's Bible Activities, Bible Story for Children, and the Life of Messiah. Giving and sharing in Next City, Missouri. Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto Yahweh. Husbands, love your wives. And it goes without saying, doesn't it? It goes without saying that wives should love their husbands, but it also says that the wives need to submit themselves to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself for it. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. And let me repeat, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, Yahweh will judge, Hebrews 13:4. Some of the other articles here on GiveShare.org, marriage, the theme of the scriptures, the most important doctrine of the Bible, a voice from the past, and is there life after divorce? So now on YahwehYahweh.name. I would like to go on to the related subject here. So people often comment, Yahweh, please stay out of my bedroom. Or, you know, mainly talking straight to the preacher, you don't have any right. Stay out of my bedroom. It's not any of your business. What Bill Clinton did or anything, it's none of anybody's business. Nobody's business. But this is as if Yahweh has no domain in our personal life. Does Yahweh have domain, and does the Father and his Son have domain in our lives, in our bedrooms, in our kitchens, to say what we can eat or not eat, or about our vacation time, when we should take our vacations? Well, Praise Yah. We'll take the Feast of Passover. We take the Feast of Unleavened Bread there, eight total days. We'll take first fruits in the summertime, and we'll take off 8 days for the Feast of Tabernacles in that last great day. And then if there's any other vacation time left over, we'll take that too. We're not going to go to a wishy-washy run-of-the-mill feast either, and just throw away our vacation time on that. We're going to have a Yahweh-ordained feast. So that's just kind of a side trail there. So Adam and Eve rebelled directly against their creator. Hava was deceived, but Adam knew better. He meekly followed his wife and gave in to the path of least resistance. All sins of mankind that followed Adam's sin have followed a similar pattern. Abram lied about Sarah being his sister when she was his wife. He feared for his life. And they did this twice in Genesis 12 and 20. Later, Sarah and Abraham lacked faith in Yahweh's promise to give them a son in their old age and tried to work it out through a surrogate mother, Hagar, H-A-G-A-R. And that's the sin of adultery, a great wrong in Genesis 16. The race that came from that, Yahweh still loves each and every one of the children that he's created. We all have a chance to repent and a chance to be saved. Hallel, Yahweh. We have a chance to be saved and repent. The power of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, by believing, hearing the word, the evangel, the scriptures, we can repent. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh, and studying the word of Yahweh. Materialism is a modern problem in our culture, modern music, the media, and idolatry, also fornication and adultery. So here's an outline about fornication, or porneia, the word porneia, Greek word. An outline, it's just an outline. Leviticus 18 talks about the sexual sins of the Canaanites, Leviticus 18, 6 through 30. Leviticus 19, fornication with bondmaidens, that's 19:20. Leviticus 19:29, your daughter is not supposed to be a prostitute. You're not supposed to prostitute your daughter, no matter how poor you get. Yet that was practiced in many countries. In the Orient, it was practiced. Leviticus 20 talks about and teaches us from 10 to 21, verses 10 to 21, about adultery, incest, sodomy, bestiality, and the death penalties that were in place there. That was through the Old Covenant, the schoolmaster, the death penalty. Under the law was under the death penalty being administrated by properly designated authorities in those days. Now, of course, it's just done through a state type of thing and not necessarily from Yahweh. Leviticus 21, verse 7, do not marry a whore or divorcee. Leviticus 21, 7. Deuteronomy, now, skipping ahead two books, Deuteronomy 22, verse 13 to 21. What is virginity? What is fornication? And what would define porneia or fornication? What are the grounds for divorce? Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 24. One manner of law for the stranger and for the homeborn. One law for the stranger and homeborn. These are not for priests only, not for Levitical priests only, but for all Yisrael, Romans 11, all of us who have been grafted in to Messiah. And also, Deuteronomy 24 is a chapter that is a review of Deuteronomy 22. It doesn't further clarify it, but it makes a comment in there. The churches of the world, churches of God, and many Protestant leaders, Jehovah's Witnesses, now even Catholics, have almost uniformly perverted scriptures, as Genesis 2:24. So they allow divorce and remarriage contrary to the scripture. Twisted human reasoning born out of physical lust and perverted minds have come up with all sorts of aberrant ideas supposedly allowing divorce and remarriage, interracial marriage, and even acceptance of homosexuality, sodomy. We're not talking about Protestants and Catholic, we're talking about even Sabbath keepers, of those in leadership, those in messianic assemblies. Oh, yes. Yeah. Who can tell what's going on there? You know, when there's no accountability, how did the leaders get into authority in the first place? Are they properly and scripturally qualified to be a leader, according to 1 Timothy? I don't know. One man said that Yahweh didn't condemn David for marrying more than one wife. A minister falsely claiming to be conservative says that except it be for fornication, Matthew 19 means except it be for fraud or some other problem. For the understanding of fornication, we ought to go back to Deuteronomy 22. And they would say that there is no limit to the number of spouses that one could have. So we might just turn them over to Yahweh in prayer and disfellowship them after the leaders make the proper inquiries into the matter. You know, maybe it is a scriptural separation, a scriptural divorce of Deuteronomy 22. Speaking of that betrothal period, we're about a half an hour in to this broadcast. Suppose you're divorced and struggling to raise a family alone. Well, for one thing, the assembly should be responsible. If you are attending the assembly, they should be responsible to support the children. Maybe you have never been married and you can't seem to find the right mate. Well, first of all, we don't want Satan to be bombarding us with thoughts of discouragement and wrong physical desires. Do not yield to sin and desire a woman who is already married and divorced, or whose husband is still alive, 1 Corinthians 7. A woman is under the law to her husband as long as he liveth. If you are divorced or separated from your true mate, do not yield to sin and remarry, which is adultery. So I'm just reinforcing. If you're eligible to marry, do not hastily rush into an ill-conceived union. Sexual sins and lusts still plague believers and Sabbath keepers and messianics. Well, if we believe in Messiah, we're all called messianic. And this applies to men and women. Many ministers actually compromise and promote doctrines encouraging such sexual sins as adultery. So let's rid our lives of these sins and be unleavened. Gently announce that we're leaving that compromising assembly because of the obvious false doctrines. 1 Corinthians 5, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must go out of the world. But now I have written unto you to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or any extortioner with such a one, you don't even eat with that person. If they're supposed to be a believer and they're a drunkard or something, well then you shouldn't even sit down and eat with them. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 5, therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. Also please look up Romans 16, verse 17, 2 Thessalonians 3:14. These are just about separation. 2 Thess 3:14, 1 Timothy 6:3, 1 Timothy 2, and Titus 3:10 there, about being separate from those with false doctrine, separate from sinning, people who make a practice of sinning, not those who inadvertently sin. What a state of the world, what a state that the assembly, the synagogues, that the church is in these days. The state of the assembly is that we're all headed downhill. It's a compromise. And, you know, we worry about the gun laws and things, you know, that they're going to take away our little gun that we have, you know, the little pistol thing there or something that's, you know, we're going to use to defend ourselves, or maybe you have better armament than that. But I turn on the Messianic broadcast, and that's all they seem to want to worry about anymore, is they're going to take away my guns and then all of my possessions and my family and all. Well, it just might happen to us, so we better repent. Why did Yahweh turn all the Israelites over to the enemy? Now look that up. What, Ezekiel 22? Many other places there. The reason that they went into such bondage, as a whole, the bride was unfaithful as a whole. And so some of us are just being judged just for being around them, for being in company, and bad communication corrupts good manners, the scripture says. In Corinthians, John 17:17, set them apart through thy truth, thy word is truth. Psalm 119, Isaiah 8, if we speak not according to the Torah and the testimony, we have no light in us. The word, the standard, the Torah. John 3:21, but he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh, that they are worked up by the Spirit, or Ruach HaKadosh. Let us walk in the Spirit. Put on the full armor of Yahweh. Put on that, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girded with truth, and the helmet of salvation. Oh, brother, sister, we don't want to forget the helmet of salvation today, do we not? We do want to remember. We don't want to forget. And where is that found? It's Galatians 6. Repent and be immersed in the name of Yahosha. Acts 2:38. Confess our sins. 1 John 2:6. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Romans 10 now, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahuwah. And that's in John chapter 3. And also in Romans 10:9 and Ephesians 2:8 through 10, which says, Ephesians 2, for by unmerited favor are we saved. For by unmerited favor, through faith, are we saved, not by meager works of man, lest anyone should boast. And we are saved unto Yahweh, unto good works. I didn't finish that there. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by unmerited favor, through faith, are we saved, not by meager works of man, lest anyone could boast. Luke 13 tells us there, to be converted and repent, or else. Yahusha Messiah is our deliverer. He gives us deliverance from sin, and he gives us the free gift of salvation. If we walk with him, Yahusha, our Savior, he will see that our spirit will be acceptable to Yahweh and give unto us the gift of eternal life, and we will live ever after with Yahweh. We'll be off this planet. We'll be out of here and into the kingdom of heaven. Well, actually, we can be in the kingdom of heaven now if we are in Messiah. We'll walk with him as we can walk with him right now. We can put on the full armor of Yahweh. We can be in the love of Yahweh, even in the worst situation. I was out on the slopes the other day skiing, but, and you might be down in the depths of Hollywood or somewhere, some disgusting place. Well, there's a few good places, maybe. I don't know. I've never been there. But in the depths of some cruddy city or even some tiny little town, and it's just depravity all around. So everything is depression and the gun control. if we walk with Yahweh and walk in his word and, keep listening to the word, keep reading it and studying it and praying, going to that prayer closet on our knees to him and begging him. Some people say the big things are happening, that the sky is falling. Well, I don't think it's going to fall tonight. I don't think the sky is going to fall tonight, but I do believe that it could be within our lifetime, and that the the time limit that Yahweh specified in the word there. The 7,000th rest year is coming up in our lifetime, possibly, unless we all misunderstand the symbolism there in the book of the Revelation and the book of Daniel and so on. But let's be walking in the Spirit and praise Him, praise Yahweh. I am Stephan Yah, and I have been so thankful for this ministry and for having been saved by Yahushua Messiah, by His blood that He has shed for me and for my forgiveness of my transgressions of His Torah. I broke the Sabbath. I was a man of doubt. I doubted His word. I still do it now and then. I still haven't quite repented of some of these things. makes me angry. Yeah, I get angry. But, some anger is good, but some of it not. So, the compromise, I'm very good on that. And I don't want to compromise. I'm good on not compromising. How are you on that? It's this time, this program is being recorded. We're coming up to Passover in a couple of months. Purim is happening tonight, I believe. And there's a lot of things going on in the world, some unrest, things that could come home someday, and the roosters come home and roost or something. But let's just always be ready and praise Him. Thank you for tuning in with the old web crawler there. And please shoot me a nice email. And I'm not asking for money. We don't need to build the temple out there. We don't need to build my institution or anything before Yahweh comes back. I just ask for a nice email, a nice greeting sometime. Just say, Shalom, okay? And the address is Stephan Yah. That's Stephan Yah with a T. At YahwehYahweh.name. And to you, Shalom, Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly.